Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart. I help Gearhart Law with their marketing, and I run a podcast and content creation studio and provide podcast consulting.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
Now, it's very exciting. We're going to go on to our next presenter, Braden Young with SlashExperts.com. Welcome, Braden. Tell us all about what you're doing. It's very cool.
Thanks. Yeah. So yeah, this was a problem we had at my last startup, which was called Sendoso, which we were a B2B company. And we had a lot of website traffic, but like any B2B site, when you want to convert that web traffic, it's take a demo and say, like, click, you know, come, you know, talk to sales. And we saw a lot of folks wouldn't do it. Like, they would pop into a community and they'd ask questions like, hey, does anyone like this software? Or it's like, how are you solving X problem? So all these amazing prospects were basically back channeling your tool and the space that you live in. And they were looking for answers. And the only place they had to go were review sites, which were great, but like this didn't answer the question they needed. And you were hoping they would come back if they got the answers they were looking for and then take a demo. So our thought was like, let's actually just make it easier. If a prospect comes to my website and they're not ready for a demo yet, let's serve up an expert. It's a customer. So we call our customers experts. And so your very first step in the process is you're paired, you're matched using AI with a similar customer in a similar space, and you book a time with them instantly. So your very first conversation can be with a customer versus talking to sales, someone who's like-minded, someone who is probably solving or trying to solve a similar problem as you. So this is used a lot for top of funnel. It's also used a lot for mid funnel. If maybe you've taken a demo, maybe you've had that conversation, but you're like, I don't know, this is the right tool for me. Like, rather than a reference being at the very end of the sales cycle, put it in the middle or put it towards the beginning. And so we see it converting incredibly fast. We're seeing deals close about 3x faster because you're essentially just putting this up towards the start, which is kind of cool. So as a million tools are built every day with AI making it easier, we're trying to build communities and try to help peer-to-peer sales, be it every B2B startup.
So innovative. I have to ask though, are your current clients getting compensated at all for their time for this?
There's the question, right? Yes. So if a customer takes a phone call, there's two things we do. One, they are compensated as a thank you, and the company determines what that might be. Could be a charity donation in their name, could be an e-gift, it could be cash. So when we built that, like that was helpful. But the bigger item was that customer also controls their calendar. So they sync their calendar with the tool and they determine when they might take these phone calls. So what we saw was like most B2B companies, people take reference calls. Like sometimes they take a discount on a piece of software. Sometimes they're like, hey, I love this tool, I'll be a reference for you. And it's really hard for that person to control their calendar. And like they're like, I'll do one call a month or one call. I don't want a bunch of reference calls. And so they're able to control when they take these phone calls. And that was the bigger unlock for us, where they're like, hey, I'll do one call a month. And like, that'll satisfy my contract where I took a discount. And also like, I'll be a, you know, an advocate for you also. So it's been kind of cool to see like both those help with signing up more customers.
So you've launched this product?
5 months in. Yeah. We're 5 months in.
And how's it working?
Good. I mean, like there's up to about 40 customers, which is good in 5 months. I'm selling a very similar profile as I sold Sendoso to. So it's marketing, it's sales leaders, it's B2B technology to start. So I had a pretty good network there. So the first 40 were probably easier than they should have been, but it's been a lot of learnings. We have two camps. We have camp one, folks are like, our customers love us. Let's put them out there. Let's put them in the top of the funnel. They can help us with deals. Those are the ones having success. There's a camp two where people are a little afraid of their customer base. They're like, I don't want to poke the bear. Like they like me, they pay me. I don't know if I want to put them front and center. Yeah, maybe they'll do case studies. And like the camp two is coming around to like, hey, like my demo button's not getting as clicked as much as it used to. I got to figure out another way to build pipeline, and I'm going to use my customers to do it. So it's been good learnings. I think like our biggest learning has been when you go to our one of like the expert pages, like there's all these folks that are on there, their faces are there, and they can book a time with each of them. Is someone was like, hey, if I have an angry customer, if they have an open ticket, or if they have a low MPS score, can you pull them from the fakes automatically? And we were like, yeah. So we built the integration that lives in Salesforce and HubSpot, and they can get pulled until that ticket's closed, which has been kind of cool little tweaks to the system.
That is so powerful. You know, I don't really trust online reviews that much anymore because I've been burned so many times. Like,
yeah.
I remember I bought this toaster. It's like, yeah, this is the best toaster. It toasts really fast. It's great. Well, the cord was about a foot long. I'm like, I can't even get my...
We have an extension cord for a toaster. Wow.
Yeah,
we've not applied this to more consumer goods. We think it works there well because like people still need reviews there. And so like if there's a button that's like, hey, talk to real users of this or someone who bought this, we think that's applicable to, like down the road as to like how we might want to do that. Like right now we're living at around a couple $1,000s plus, but then there's, I mean, when you go and buy a car, you're always asking your friends like, hey, like, do you like this? Like, do you like the car that you bought? And so I think eventually we'll figure that space out. I think it does have some use there for sure.
So I have to put my lawyer hat on here and ask, well, what if somebody makes a recommendation and the person relies on that recommendation and it doesn't work out for the purchaser? And if they get upset and they want to blame the recommendation for their trouble because they said one thing and it didn't really work out. Do you have a plan for that?
We do. I think like most folks who are going through the process that are the customers are already part of a case study on most of these websites. So they've already talked about their use case of like this system. And then after an expert call usually takes place, that individual is sent to sales. So sales is still involved in the process of like, hey, we want to make sure this is someone who can actually use our tool properly. So there's still some vetting there to make sure like, hey, this is only a recommendation by this person. This was their use case, their problem. This is how they solved it. Your problems could be different. There's also a lot of, you know, legal language in there too, to be like, hey, is this something that maybe it'll help you, maybe it won't. But I think that you can only rely on, you know, someone, hey, this was my experience. Yours could be different.
Caroline, do you have any questions?
This sounds like a really interesting business. And I like two things. I like that you're a former founder. So it's not necessarily going to mean that you're going to succeed, but you got a better chance. And we've seen that over and over again. So that's excellent. And I like that you're looking at a way to solve what is a big problem. We've seen several startups tackle this problem, which is for enterprise software, it's a gigantic mess out there. The review sites are, in most cases, pretty unreliable. And people go through this process of trying to pick things, and then they end up just picking the big logo, right?
Yeah.
So I like what you're doing because it will help startups.
There's there's like the enterprise software, like you bring up a good point. We're seeing companies build expert pages just for their big enterprise deals. So like take a land and expand type method. We're like, hey, we got into Salesforce. Isn't that great? But like you could spend all day there trying to sell other departments. So build a page with just your Salesforce users on there and use that internally to sell. Because the first question you always get is like, who's using you at this company? And like, so that's been kind of cool to see like that motion build and just make it easier for folks to get the information they're looking for.
Inertia is one of the world's most powerful forces. And so that often is just the simple reason large enterprises won't try a startup is just that there's too much inertia.
Yeah, it's not recently anymore, but we invested in an ERP system to help us with our accounting and invoicing and project management. And I'm not sure it was really the best fit for us. It was recommended to us by, you know, consultant. And if I had had the opportunity, I think, to talk with other users, I would have gotten a different perspective on it probably. And potentially would have made a different choice. A friend of mine says that software is always oversold.
Always.
And I kind of fell into that trap. And, you know, this provides an easy way to do more diligence and hopefully make better decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the thing we all need to remember in software too is you don't want everything going out the back door in terms of like churn, right? So you want to bring on the right customers at the beginning, because you might churn at the end of your contract, and that's not good for the software tool at all. So you want to make sure, I mean, that's why betting, that's why Disco is so important before you close any deal, and your customers helping you do that. So you're scaling your team with your customers, which has been cool to see grow.
So what industries are using your software now?
A lot of marketing and sales tech are like the two primary ones we're living right now. We're experimenting, because we're 5 months in, we're experimenting with a couple other tools. Finance is one that we're playing around with, like a financial advisor, because that's a big commitment. You're trying to figure out, hey, is this someone I want to talk to? So we're trying a few of those, working with a few banks too, same financial idea. So it's a lot of like mid-market and SMB. We've just barely scratched the surface of enterprise type deals of companies who have 5 or 6 different product SKUs. And so they would need a bunch of different expert pages for that. So we're just starting to get into that world, which has been pretty cool to see grow.
Seems like it'd be pretty hard to convince them to use a new tool. How are you getting them on board?
It's a lot of like, so most marketers and salespeople, like sales leaders right now, their biggest concern is pipeline. It's like, we don't have the pipeline that we used to have, and I still need to hit these projections. So if I come to them with like, hey, you have an entire pipeline you're not even reporting on, because you have people that are doing research on you, you have people that are reading reviews, maybe they're coming to your site, but you don't really count them until they press take a demo. So my thought is, hey, like, let's look at these folks who are doing research on you, who are looking for information, and make it easier for them to find the data they're looking for so they can become pipe. So that's typically the model. And most folks are like, yes, like I need pipeline. So I'm going to go ahead and try this. And so that's one. The other way is the reference is a very messy process. It's like usually the very last step in the sales cycle. And someone's like, I need a reference before I can sign. And you're like, oh, okay, who should I send to you? It's always the same two people that you send to that deal. And so by cleaning that up and putting that towards the beginning, deals are going faster and we're able to prove that now. And so if I can go to a sales leader and say, hey, I'm going to give you more pipeline that you're not seeing. And two, your deals are going to go 4 times faster. It's really like, okay, I'll try this. I'll experiment with it. We have done a lot of pilots because it is a new kind of process. So that has been a lot of our growth. Because we plug into folks, their CRMs, we're able to see deals that come in from an expert and close, which is always great. It's always very helpful as a founder too, because we're doing QBRs. You're like, hey, you're paying for us. You're having success there. So I think we've seen a good amount of deals come in via experts, and those deals close. My first company, or my previous company, Sendoso, like a lot of the reps there are using it, and it's great to see them having deals come in where they've already talked to a customer, then those deals close. Those are the best ones for us because we can easily help them scale. They're having success using the tool.
Well, this is excellent. This is definitely something new. And it sounds like people jumping on board now are going to be way ahead of the game in a year from now, right?
We hope so. The goal is to just make it easy for people to get the information they're looking for.
So how do people find you?
I am the only Braden Young, which is B-R-A-Y-D-A-N. My parents got creative with my name spelling. So I'm only Braden Young on LinkedIn. So connect me there.
And then it's /experts.
And /experts is .com is the company too.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the U.S. and one international market. We recently had a station in Guam join us as an affiliate.
In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.